God, with people of God. Lord, let your will be done today. Let all that goes forth be to glory and edify the name of Jesus. Let every person that hears or sees or is in this house, let the love of God permeate from us, Lord. Let every man and woman be drawn to you. Let your hand be upon this vessel, Lord. Your words and thoughts be not of myself, but of yours, Lord Jesus. I pray that the hearts would receive this word, let it would grow and take root in them, and that they would become the men and women of God they are called to be, the army of God for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today's title, if you want to write it down, is Broken for His Purpose. Broken for His Purpose. So many times in our lives we get very discouraged because as we read the word, as we listen to our brothers and sisters in Christ who teach and encourage and even reprimand us at times, we become discouraged because the enemy walks in and takes that seed from you. That is a seed, in case you didn't know that. But I want to explain to you, brokenness is what he desires of us. Brokenness. Paul said it best, when I am weak, he is strong. That means not that your physical strength is weak, but that in your will, it means obedience. It's putting aside, as Jesus said, any man come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. Those are the footsteps we're to walk in. But this week, God took me to Isaiah 61:3, and it's a very well-known scripture. We do quote it quite often, but I want to kind of break it down for you. Isaiah 61:3, and it reads in the New King James, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion. I want you to understand who this is written to. This is written to those in Zion. Zion was Jerusalem. Zion was the mountain of Jerusalem. It was the fortress David captured and turned into the city of Jerusalem. So these are words written to the people of God. It's written for me and you. And look at the purpose. The purpose is to console. What does that mean, to console? If you look at the Webster's Dictionary, it says to give rest or quiet. Or to strengthen, to comfort, to clear the mind in distress or depression. To alleviate grief and give refreshment to the mind or the spirit. To give contentment, to moderate happiness by relieving from distress. So these verses are to console every part of us that we need. Everything that comes against us, every part of us that is not that what is correct with Christ, it is a place to come to and be strengthened. But let me tell you, it doesn't come easy. It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. If anyone told you that this was a piece of cake walk, they lied to you. We have an enemy. And Jesus told us the thief come but to kill, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he comes for that purpose only. That's all he comes to. He says, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So when you are broken by the Holy Spirit, when you are led into areas in your life that doesn't agree with the word of God, that doesn't agree with his righteousness, his holiness, it is your choice to give it up. He gives you everything. He gives you his spirit. That's all power, our authority. That's all you need to walk this walk out according to God, according to the word of God, and to his will. But we have to make the choice to let it go, to fix whatever is wrong. So according to the word of God. So let's go on with Isaiah 61:3. It says, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Notice your purpose there, trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. It's not in your own strength. It's not in your ability. This is bigger than you. But when you allow Holy Spirit to guide you into those areas, and then you surrender and submit to and be obedient to the word of God, You have more power than he does. You have more power than your flesh even. It says that he may be glorified. There's your purpose. It's not to bring you praise. It's not to get you glory. It's not to make you money. It's not to obtain the title. It's to bring him glory. That's all it's about. To be broken. To be broken. So God told me, he says, you know, so many times my children, and I'll include myself in that, when God comes to you and shows you something in your life that is not correct, that mars the shining example that you're supposed to be of him, so they go through these stages like this verse. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He says, they mourn. They mourn what they have to give up. They walk around with the spirit of heaviness because they don't want to detach from what I'm asking them to detach from, even though it's going to kill them. It's going to separate them from me and maybe one day even take their own lives. Lead them into, because you know what sin does? Where does sin lead us? All sin leads us to death, spiritual and sometimes you in the natural, unfortunately. He said, sometimes they want to wear their beautiful ashes around what those things that burn them up, the things that were done to them, the things, the choices that they made. And they want to wear their ashes around and mourn and walk around in heaviness. He says, but I am asking for the exchange today. I am asking for you to give that to me and let me see what I can do with you if you'll release it. Will you release it? How well does someone see Christ in you if you're walking around talking about, we'll just call it trauma because that's the word of today, walking around talking about, oh, poor, pitiful me. This is what happened to me. This is what sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so did to me. This is what the world did to me. This is what mama didn't do or daddy didn't do. This is where I was less in life than you. He said, you're walking around giving praise to anyone but me. I can bring you out of that, but you want to mourn. You want to walk around in heaviness, and then you want to come in here and praise my name? What glory do I get from that? You are giving glory to the enemy. You are giving glory to the enemy. Mourning is something that we just don't always say. When you look the definition up, it means to weep audibly. It is a sound that you can be heard, but it is also, it is grief that's with inside, but it's also something that you wear. In the Bible, you see it all the time. When they were mourning, what did they do? They put on their sackcloth and they sat in their ashes and they flipped it up on them. They wore their ashes so that you could see that they were mourning something. They were in repentance of something. How many times are we walking around here in our ashes, refusing to give them to God so that we can have something beautiful? How many times are we walking around here with the spirit of heaviness on us, and all you can hear is, woe, woe is me, woe, woe is me. Who's being glorified? Not the name of God. Not the name of God. He wants to give you the garment of praise. You know why it's a garment? Because too many times we like to take it off. Set it down. We like to walk around in self-pity. We like to walk around and somebody look at me. Somebody, I'm so pitiful. See what they did to me. See what they didn't do to me. He told me, he says, they like to take the garment of praise off. The one that I gave them to glorify my name, to make them better, to bring them into alignment with my will, to be a light for me, a city set on the hill. And all they want to do is take the garment of praise off and talk about their problems and what someone did or didn't do, how life treated them. It is time to shed that off. It is time to walk in power and put on the garment of praise for God. How are you going to operate in your life? Do you always want to be in that same rut? This is your life. This is what you want in your life. This is what you want for your children. You know, one time he showed me, sometimes they take the ashes and they even spread it to their children Because, you know, when you touch them, when you talk to them, when you live with them, they get to pick up on all that stuff. And that becomes the norm for them. Is that what you want for the next generation? Is that what you want? Do you want them to fight the same demons, the same devils that you did? Or do you want them to come in here and see a powerful mother and father or aunt or aunt, whoever you are to them, that walks in the power and authority of God so they don't ever have to deal with those issues themselves? Yes. My daughter sent me a text. And she said, sometimes I feel like I don't know what I'm doing in my life. And I said back to her in so many words, baby, the only purpose you'll find in life is in God. That's the only time that I feel that I'm doing anything good. That when I stay in His will and I stay in His presence, that's where I find my peace. That's where I find my joy. I can't find it at the job. I can't find it with your spouse. I can't find it with your husband. I don't care who you're trying to go find it from. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't find it in a needle. You can't find it on TV. You can't find it on the internet. You can only find it in Jesus. What are you doing today? It's okay to be broken if you're being broken for Him. It's not okay to be broken any other way. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He says, I wrote to you several strong letters, and I'm so glad to hear that you took it in the right way, that it caused you to change for God's purpose. There are some ways that you can take things. There's a godly way to accept brokenness, and there's a worldly way to accept brokenness. 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 10, it says, I am not sorry that I sent that severe letter to you, though I was sorry at first, for I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad I sent it, not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants His people to have, so that you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but the worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Spiritual death. When God shows you by the leading of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, that you need to put away pride, that you need to put away anger, that you need to put away unforgiveness. It's a brokenness that He can use. It's for your good. It's for the good of others. It's for everyone that you're going to touch, every life that you're going to come in contact with. Why would you sit there and choose that over Him? I told one lady, I would not want to meet God with unforgiveness in my heart, because the Bible says if you can't forgive, I don't have to forgive you. Are you going to stand in judgment one day with that in your heart? Is that the one thing that's going to keep you from heaven? Your pride, your unforgiveness? Is that the one thing that's going to keep you away? We are laying up treasures every day in this life. We're trying to be the examples. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to look righteous and holy. But, you know, 2 Corinthians says that we are fragile clay jars. He understands that. But we contain this great treasure, which is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And that when people see us, they see the great power that God has done for us. And that gives them something this world can't give. That gives them hope. That gives them hope. Are you laying your treasures up here? Paul said this wonderful thing. He said, you know, we are being slain all day long. Everything. We're coming up trials and tribulations. We're experiencing all, but we're doing it all because of Jesus Christ. It's okay to be broken for Him. Are you going to accept that sorrow the godly way or the worldly way? Are you going to be broken for his use? Are you going to be broken for his use? Beauty means a stature change, a stature change. It's a power, it's authority, it's a physical change. Beauty for ashes. Do you know what ashes represent? There's something that's burned up. They're worthless. Paul said, you know, in all my life, I'm a Hebrew among Hebrews. I'm a Roman citizen. He had it all. He had all the education. He had everything that anyone could ever want. He was probably one of those guys that were born with a golden spoon in his mouth, silver spoon in his mouth, because he had all the qualifications. He was even a Pharisee among Pharisees, he said. He said, but I considered it all dung just to know Jesus Christ. Just to know him, just to get close to him, just to be with him, to be used. You know, Paul wrote most of his stuff from prison. And I have a bad day. I have a hard time concentrating on anything godly. How about you? I'm still working on that. Could you imagine being in prison for years, knowing that you're just going to die that way? But yet he poured into every church and every person that he could. Pastor said Wednesday night how he almost missed prison. It made me think about that as I was writing that sermon, this sermon. How many of us could shine in that place? How many of us could be the city set on the hill, be salt and light? Jesus says, give me your ashes. I'll give you beauty. I'll give you beauty. What was the next thing he asked for? He said, give me your mourning. Quit mourning over what you think you're going to lose. I've got something better for you. I've got the oil of joy. Do you understand? Joy is just not happiness. Joy is something deep down inside that nobody can take from you. Joy is walking through the hard times and walking through the difficult times and still being able to praise God and tell people about him despite what you're going through. Most leaders in this church, you don't know the struggles they go to. Most Christians, period. Most of them have learned that they can walk in joy despite. I had a lady ask me one time, and she knew my situation. She said, how can you be so happy? I said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about a joy that the world can't take away because it didn't give it. I think it's interesting. It says the oil of joy. You know why? Because I can rub it off on you if I need to. It's oil because I can share it. It's oil because people need to see that and they need to experience it, even if it's briefly. They go say, I want what you have. Give me some of that. I'm tired of mourning. Tired of mourning. Mourning is expression of intense grief. It's pain. When God asks you to give something up, God asks you to do something that you don't want to do. You know something about pain? I do. I made the comment one time, sometimes God shuts the lion's mouth and sometimes it's you that God shuts the mouth. Don't tell me that you don't know pain if you haven't experienced that. God has asked you to walk in a way that goes against everything. Your flesh is screaming. You're wanting to do what the flesh wants to do. But God's saying, I've called you higher. I've got something better. That's the anointing. And I'm not going to say it's going to happen only once in your life. No, it's going to happen many times. You're going to have to learn to be obedient to God. Pastor Colton told me something one time and I got real quiet. He said, finally said, woman of God, I said, I'm here. I'm just trying to let the flesh die. Trying not to say anything that's going to cause a problem. That's pain. What's the next thing he wants? He says, give me the heaviness. Give me the heaviness. I know it's so much. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness. What's heaviness? If you look at the definition, it means darkness. something that's unclear, something that has become dim or less bright, something faint, heaviness. You know what it's like when you start living contrary to God, when he tells you to do something? You will notice it affects your walk in this life. When you get angry with somebody, instead of taking control and doing what you're supposed to do, it comes out on every person that you meet afterwards, right? It does. I'm walking that out today. He says, let me give you the garment of praise. Let me put something else in your heart. You know what comes out your mouth has to be in your heart, right? So if you've got it in your heart, if you've got praise in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. Heaviness will not have a hand in your life. I heard a pastor one time say he had a man that he felt offended by. And for years, he was a young boy when he felt offended by what was done. And he said, finally, God brought it to me as I got a little bit older. And he said, you got to forgive this man. He says, how am I going to do that? I've spent 20 years being angry at this guy. He says, every time that thought dropped in my head of that man and what he'd done to me, and I could feel unforgiveness and anger, he said, I would say out loud, I forgive brother so-and-so. I forgive. He said, and I learned in the days to come, there was a lot of saying that. But as the days went on, it became less and less of issue because the enemy learned he did not have that foothold anymore. He was operating and pushing the spirit of heaviness and taking praise on. What does the Bible say about our enemies? We are supposed to do good to them, pray for them. Don't matter what they've done. Praise is an outward expression. It's a word or a deed. Sometimes you just can't say it. You've got to walk it. Does people see praise in your life? Or is that something you've not given to God yet? Joy, I thought, was interesting because when you look it up, it means richness. When you have joy, you have richness. Some of us walking around here wondering why we're poor. We don't have joy. We don't have joy. So what we need to do, we need to draw near to God. We need to get in his word. We need to study the word, not just read the word. Learn what the words mean. Look them up. Understand the Hebrew and the Greek. Draw near. Spend time with him. There is times that I just spend time with him. I don't speak. I don't talk. I just sit and listen. God, what do you want to tell me? Yes, I spend time in prayer. I spend time praising him. Sometimes they're all together. And then I'll just sit quietly and say, okay, God, I've been talking. What do you want to tell me? What do I need to know? Let me just spend time with you. There are times in my life, and I have learned that I love my husband a whole lot of 38 years. But I have found that when he leaves and is gone for extended times, I miss not just what he does for me, being there for me, always taking care of things, taking me wherever I need to go, making sure I have what I need, but I missed his presence in the house. God misses your presence. Kim, if we were without Kenneth today, would you miss just his presence in your life? You would. Not just everything he does, because he's a good man, I know. But his presence was so valuable. Just his presence. Here we are. Draw near to him. Let him have those pieces of your life that he wants. Because I guarantee you, he's got purpose in the brokenness. Do you know, we always like to go back to the Matthew story where Jesus fed the 5,000. And what did he did? If you look at the order in that, he took what the disciples gave him. What are you giving, God? He took it. He blessed it. He blessed you when he gave you salvation. But let me tell you, that wasn't all he did with it. The very next thing he did was he broke it. He broke it into pieces. And then he gave it back to the disciples who had given him, and he said, feed the crowd now. That's your purpose in life. Give it to God. Give yourself to God. Give everything about you, your will, your desires. I'm not saying don't have a job. I'm not saying don't have families. No, I'm not saying that. But you've got to be intentional about what you do for him and with him, your time in him. Give yourself to him. He's going to bless you. He already did. He gave us salvation. He gave us Holy Spirit to dwell within us. But don't be surprised when he breaks you. That's part of the plan. Because I've done seen where Sonia's decision and Sonia's thoughts got her. It got me in a realization one day sitting in the tub praying to God that I wouldn't die because of my choices, that it wouldn't affect my family. Asking God to help me not to do it again, knowing very well I had no relationship with him at that time, and I was within months doing the same thing again. I had no power within myself. Give it to him. He's got all the power. It lives within you. Let him break you. Don't let the enemy tell you that that's a wrong thing. You, when you are broken for God, for his purpose, his plan, be obedient to the breaking. Because let me tell you what happens is he multiplies it. He multiplies it. Like in the story, he multiplies it. He's going to feed you. He's going to feed your children. He's going to feed your family. He's going to feed your siblings. He's going to feed the people that you see in Walmart, the people that you work with. You are going to be an instrument in his hand. I know it's painful. I know what you mourn. I know you feel like you're walking around here in sackcloth and ashes, and I know you feel heaviness, but God says, give it to me. Let me multiply the brokenness. Father, I thank you for this word today. I pray that we would be able to take it, to be empowered with it, Lord, because your word is truth. It is life. It is our authority. It's our power. Let us walk in that. Give us the strength to be the obedient people that we're called to be. Let us give you our ashes, our mourning, our heaviness, because we desire to be instruments in your hand so that we can see what we have gone to be multiplied and be a blessing to many. We thank you for the opportunity to participate in the kingdom in such a way. Give us your wisdom each and every day. Protect and guide your people, Lord, as you always promised to do. In Jesus' name, amen.